Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is Dane Martinez, Speed, the spitting statistician, the stable genius, and vocal minority of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You heard me last hour with the King, Scott Angle. We're back at it. We got Mike Blewett as well here on Fantasy Sports Today. That's how we do it, 8 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. We're getting everybody ready, you know, to win their leagues and win that cash as we head on in to the last week of the preseason. Some things to look at there. We'll look at that stuff as well. And then, you know, news and notes. They blew it. It looks like some people got paid yesterday. Tyler Lockett and, of course, Aaron Rodgers. You know, people getting paid, people on the move, as teams really need to start thinking about how they got themselves down to a roster of 53 players. Right, Mikey?
Yeah, so, look, he's going to get a ton of money, obviously. He's going to see $80 million before March and $68 million through the rest of this year. I want to continue to dive into the specifics throughout the day and find out exactly when the guarantees come in. So he's bound to get paid. He's going to see $103 million in guarantees. But, you know, the market is set. It was set once Matt Ryan, frankly, once the Washington decided not to pay Kirk Cousins, it's what really ramped the market up, right? Cousins sees all the guarantees, then Matt Ryan sees the guarantees, and then Aaron Rodgers sees the guarantees continue to go up. So good on him, and the Packers are set here for a while. You know, interestingly, they made a couple of other additional moves yesterday in trading away their backup in Brett Hundley to Seattle, who now has a more solidified backup behind Russell Wilson, plus that elevates DeShone Kizer to the backup position for the long term.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, kind of the Seahawks getting their backup quarterback, the Packers making their moves. Another extension that I did think was interesting, Mike, Tyler Lockett. He gets a three-year, $31.8 million extension. I'm wondering if they are locking him up now, because if Doug Baldwin is struggling all year, Tyler Lockett's stats are going to look better this year than they have in years past. And if they waited too long, he might be worth a little bit more on the open market. Maybe they lock him in now before they have to pay a little bit of a premium because of whatever he does produce this year if Baldwin is nicked up.
I did think it was an interesting signing. I didn't see that coming necessarily, but I think you made a greater point. They're trying to lock him up, give him a bunch of guaranteed money to make sure that they don't have to pay a premium if he does break out in a significant way. You know, he hasn't topped 600 receiving yards in the last 2 years, only got three touchdowns in his last 31 games. So he's been a guy that's underperformed for fantasy owners and for Seattle in general. Now, they feel like he now is a solidified number two opposite Baldwin, so they give him the money. It's a little risky if he underperforms again, but I think they're making their bet that they know he's their long-term number two guy, and they don't necessarily want to pay him at the top of his value. So occasionally teams will take a risk like this to try to get the guy long-term. Like, look at the Todd Gurley deal.
Right.
The Todd Gurley deal is a lot of guaranteed money. But when you average it over the next several years until the year 2023 when he's locked up, it's a pretty sound investment because they're not paying him at the top of the market. They're going to end up paying him, I think it's in the range of like between $9 and $10 million. Good deal for him as a 23-year-old, but he's not top of the market value when Le'Veon Bell is getting 14 and a half.
Yeah, that's true. And you think about these with, you know, how contracts continue to go up. You mentioned the idea with the quarterbacks. I think first, like, you know, Stafford set the market, Russell Wilson then set the market, Matt Ryan set the market, now Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's just all about timing. When you come up, you're going to inch it up a little bit more. We've seen Odell Beckham do that. We've seen Le'Veon Bell do that for their positions as well. But I guess I would say the biggest move that happened yesterday is not the extensions, it's not the trade of Brett Hundley to Seattle, but the trade of Teddy Bridgewater down to New Orleans. Now, this is something we've talked about before on this show, Mike. We thought that these Florida teams were in play. I believe that right now he would be the best starting quarterback in the state of Florida for the Jaguars, for the Bucks, or for the Dolphins. But that notwithstanding, we thought if this didn't happen, he was going to get moved to one of those teams that have an aging veteran as an insurance policy, whether that was Rivers in LA or someone like Drew Brees down there in New Orleans. Now, this is a he's on a 1-year deal, Mike. So he gets to, you know, develop under a Sean Payton system, learn a little bit, and this is their security blanket and insurance policy in case Brees falls off the cliff as he turns 40 or if he decides to walk or anything like that. And if not, they could flip him if they want, or Teddy is still primed to potentially be a starter somewhere in 2019. What do you think about this move?
And I thought this was the best landing spot for him. I had been saying it for a while as we were throwing teams around. I just felt like New Orleans was a really good landing spot, and I think it's a good deal for both teams. The Jets effectively invested $500,000 to acquire a third round pick. And clearly New Orleans picking up some of the money for this year. And they also get a sixth-round pick back to the Saints, right?
Saints.
So the Jets get a third. The Saints get Teddy Bridgewater and a sixth-round pick from the Jets. So there's no guarantee that Teddy will be on the team next year, but it does give them a succession plan if they would like. Would Bridgewater want to stay around next year if Brees signs another 1-year deal? I think that's the tough part to figure out at this moment. But the Saints are going into the year where the quarterback is turning 40, and now they have a guy who could be the hottest commodity on the quarterback free agent market next year. In fact, he's likely to be. I think there will actually be a couple of others that could see jobs as well. But Teddy Bridgewater, as of this moment, would likely be the hottest commodity on the quarterback free agent market, and they just traded for him to be a backup. As you said, he could probably start now for a few teams. That opportunity isn't there at the moment, but I think it was a good deal for the Saints. I like it as a succession plan, and if Teddy chooses not to sign, we've mentioned that three Florida teams could be moving on. There could be other teams moving on from their current quarterback as well, but those are the three most likely that where we could see a change. So I think a good deal all the way around, and what is interesting, too, is we see him traded. We see Brett Hundley traded, and there are other backup quarterbacks on the market that our teams are kicking the tires on, and or their current teams are looking for bids. And that's Josh Dobbs from the Steelers and Mike Glennon from the Cardinals. For those teams that obviously now are seeing that there's a market for backup quarterbacks, some in some cases more robust than others, but the Steelers have a crowded quarterback room right now. They're not going to keep four quarterbacks. So it was either Dobbs or Landry Jones was going to go. Landry Jones is the most accomplished as far as having started NFL games, and they drafted Mason Rudolph, so there isn't room for Josh Dobbs, and somebody might try to acquire him. And Mike Glennon obviously has some experience, so much like Teddy Bridgewater, somebody can acquire a guy who's played a whole bunch of NFL games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is interesting. You talk about what the market might be like for Teddy or someone, some of these guys next year. You know, we talked about the Florida teams. You know, there's a universe where Philip Rivers falls off a cliff or moves on with the Chargers. There's a universe where Eli Manning, you know, kind of defecates the mattress or moves on. And don't get it twisted, you know, the Patriots have traded away two guys who were potentially seen as the heir apparent there. I don't think Hoyer fits that bill up there in New England. You know, they need to start thinking about that up there as well. So there will probably be options. Let me ask you this, Mike. Are you, if you're in a very deep kind of dynasty league, are you trying to get Teddy Bridgewater like late in your draft or at a very low round pick to kind of stash for the future because you think he might be a starter next year?
I don't even think he'll be particularly low in that kind of format. I think people will understand that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a starter next year. So will he go, like, think of this, for example. If you're in a dynasty league, would you rather have Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
So there you go. So he's a better value than some starters are right now. And there's other guys who are going to lose their jobs. Jameis. Jameis is somewhat tenuous, but I don't think Jameis, even if we both accurately predict that the Bucs really fall apart, I don't necessarily think that closes the door on Jameis Winston's career as a starter in the NFL. I think the Bucs could move on from him conceivably, but I don't necessarily think that it closes the door. I think somebody could try to claim him as a reclamation project and move forward. But that being said, you know, Teddy Bridgewater does have value. He's probably going to be a starter somewhere next year. And if it's in New Orleans, which is possible, obviously, now, then that value is even greater with all the weapons surrounding him.
Yeah, I agree with you that as it relates to Jameis, you know, this idea that the Bucs may move on from him, but there is some talent there, and all it takes is one team to think that they can, you know, fix him, or they could be the culture change for him. So they'll definitely be Jameis will be somewhere in the NFL. But Blewett, I got to ask you, because, you know, I mentioned these line of long-term
dynasty leagues. Well, by the way, Dane, here's a list of some of the teams that could use backup quarterbacks right now because they don't like their depth. The Broncos, which you have talked about a whole bunch, and George Kurtz has talked about a bunch. The Panthers, the Lions, the Dolphins, the Texans, the Raiders all could use an upgrade at backup quarterback. I don't think the Raiders want to go out there with EJ Manuel as their backup and several other guys in those situations. They could use an upgrade. You know, you can bash Mike Glennon and Josh Dobbs and even a couple other guys all you want. But the reality is if somebody goes down, you'd like somebody that's been out there under fire to take the snaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at what the Philadelphia Eagles did last year. You know, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. He goes down. They're lucky that they had Nick Foles, who has NFL experience, to continue their championship run. Remember, Blewett, when I told you that in my big long-term dynasty league that's real deep and 14 teams, that I had three tight ends that I was planning on keeping, Ertz in the 7th, Burton in the 12th, and George Kittle in the 17th? What if I told you that literally Tuesday, right before this announcement, what if I told you that I did, in fact, flip George Kittle for Teddy Bridgewater in the 15th round?
I love that. I think that's great. Yeah, I actually like Kittle this year, but in long-term...
He was my third tight end. I still had Ertz and Burton, you know?
Yeah, who are your other QBs?
I'm going right now. I have Patty Mahomes in the 10th as well.
Okay.
And I'm going to draft a quarterback. I'm going to draft
Bridgewater and Mahomes. Okay, so you have Bridgewater and Mahomes going forward.
And I'll draft someone like an Andy Dalton this year. Right, I can draft like an Andy Dalton this year if I need to.
All right, so there you go. Is it a super flex or 2QB league?
It is a super flex, yes. I can flex my quarterback. Okay. Absolutely. So we shall see. We shall see. But in any event, the other thing I wanted to bring up...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, the other thing I wanted to bring up, Mikey, is that... interesting, you know, trade market, right? Because this is the time when people are trading. This is something that affects our team, Mike. Everyone seems to believe that Randall Cobb is on the market in Green Bay. I got a lot of questions about this one as well. One, what does this mean for the Packers' opinion of these rookie wide receivers and Geronimo Allison as well? To me, it means that they have confidence that these guys can, in fact, step up if needed if Randall Cobb becomes expendable. And then also, what do you think could be the market? You know, we have Randall Cobb or shares of Randall Cobb on our team, is there any places maybe we want him to get traded where he could actually maybe, you know, improve his value? I'm thinking of places like potentially Dallas, potentially Indy, potentially Jacksonville, potentially Buffalo. Do you see places where we might want Randall Cobb to go? And do you think he actually is on the move, Mike?
I absolutely don't want him to go to Buffalo. That's the last place I
want. What about Dallas? That would be interesting. Dallas would be interesting.
I think that's an interesting one. The problem right now is that there is a hole in the market for Randall Cobb. He would have already been traded, except that he's owed $9 million, and he is a guy with chronic ankle issues and has been in and out of the lineup a fair amount. I've always thought he's a very talented player. I've been high on him from the start of his career than probably many other fantasy analysts. I just have always felt like he was going to find a way in that offense to catch a whole ton of passes. But clearly, Devontae Adams has usurped him as a number one. And, you know, I don't know if he should have always been in the slot. I think he was miscast at times due to injuries in their receiving core. But a change of pace might do him well. And, I think Indy is interesting. Of all of those,
I got another option for you.
I think Indy would be my favorite landing spot for him.
What about Miami?
That's a pretty good one, but they just signed Amendola, who could be a slot.
You said he's miscast in the slot. You think Cobb can play outside? They don't have any belief in Devontae Parker anymore. We're talking about Kenny Stills as a number one, and this is a team we both believe is going to be down in games, so the game script and game flow might support him.
It's not terrible, but I see a clear path to a lot of targets in Dallas, but Indy first of all the teams that have you mentioned. You know, on the Miami front, I wanted to bring this up to you. Adam Gase came out yesterday and said he would like to see Kenyon Drake getting 15 to 20 carries a game plus 6 to 8 targets. He also said that he would like to run 70-75 plays a game. The top team in the league last year was the Patriots, just under 68 plays a game. So not only does he want to see Kenyon Drake getting the ball somewhere between 21 and 28 times a game, but he wants to see his team run 10% more plays than the top offense in the league last year.
Well, that's a little crazy, if you ask me, and that's why I think Adam Gase is in the contention for that first coach to be fired. You know, I don't believe what he's saying here. This, to me, Mike, this is similar. We heard Ron Rivera talking about he wanted to get Christian McCaffrey 25, 30 touches a game, and that's outlandish, you know? So I file this away in the same kind of category as that comment. I do not think Drake is going to get that kind of load because Frank Gore, I've said it, is unexciting but is just dependable enough to eat into that opportunity for Drake.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. If you're going into drafts this weekend, I think, and here's what we've seen from Drake. We've seen him slide a bunch. I think it can stabilize his drop in drafts. But I'm still not in love with it because I'm not in love with the team. So I'm looking in other directions. I now feel a little bit more comfortable that he's saying this. I don't believe what he's saying in that he can get him those touches, but at least he feels like he could be a workhorse to some extent. Now, I have concerns about him being a workhorse and breaking down, so you have to consider that as well. So there you go. Kenyon Drake getting a nice little boost of coach speak here before we head into this final weekend before week one.
Yeah, absolutely. Kenyon Drake, I look at my man, the King, Scott Engel's rank. He has him as, Kenyon Drake that is, as in PPR format, as RB16. But I'm down on Kenyon Drake. Give me guys that Scott has ranked behind him. I like Jordan Howard better. I like Deion Lewis better and some others. But we're off and running, Mike, here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back, we're going to dive into some more prop bets and see what's going on in week four of the preseason. It's Fantasy Sports Today. Mike Blewett, Dane Martinez.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
When you're hiring, you don't want to waste time sorting through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover student loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah. We still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
Let's say you have Randall Cobb. Going from Green Bay to almost anywhere is probably a drop. But then again, it depends on which team he goes to. Like, are there any places you could see him going where it would actually improve his value?
Dallas was one of the first ones I thought of. That would actually make him top wide receiver there instantly. And, you know, somebody good for Michael Gallup to learn from. Dallas certainly has a need there.
Weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Back on FST, Mike Blue and Dane Martinez. Get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com. Use code WINNER to get 10% off on that exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So, Dane, a couple more pieces of news. And a big one, which is not the type of thing you normally see from players, is that Michael Kendricks appears to be under the thumb of the FBI right now for an insider trading scandal. Their owner, Jimmy Haslam, famously was caught in a price-fixing scandal for his company, Flying Pilot J. And he was under extreme federal scrutiny for having been involved in a price-fixing scandal regarding his clients. He ended up paying a boatload in fines, and it was looking to be at one point potentially more serious than that. But apparently the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and Michael Kendricks finds himself cut from the Browns yesterday after news leaked about this insider trading scandal. It seems that apparently he had informed the Browns that there was some trouble on the horizon, but maybe was holding back details.
Yeah, you know, and I think this is interesting for a number of levels. You say that, you know, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree or what have you. Remember, Michael Kendricks was really with the Philadelphia Eagles for years past, so he's new to the Browns, so I don't know if he's taking his cue from Haslam, right? But here's what I thought was interesting. Mike, do you watch Hard Knocks?
I do.
Okay, so you know their lineman, Carl Nassib, who, like, it's been a running joke, right, all season long, where he's talking about, like, how you invest your money and how you double it over time, you know, all that stuff. Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's
the guy
funny
gets
that
the,
that's
the guy that gets the 10% annual returns, like the Bernie Madoff annual returns.
Exactly, and so that's what I thought right away. You know, I was like, wait a second. I thought it was Carl Nassib that was the financial advisor around the players of the Cleveland Browns, you know, and then all of a sudden, Michael Kendricks actually gets popped for insider trading. That's where I thought, you know, I mean, he got cut yesterday. He's not going to be on the roster. Maybe that means the Browns are in the market for Khalil Mack. You never know, right? But that's where my mind thought, because I had just come off watching Hard Knocks, and they have that long-standing kind of narrative on that show about Carl Nassib and kind of the financial planning and helping the rookies and the kids invest. And then we see that Michael Kendricks was, you know, kind of getting a little bit of extra help in his investment. So that's what I thought was funny about that.
So full disclosure, I have Michael Kendricks. Disclosure is probably a tough word to use right now for Michael Kendricks.
Right now,
but
yeah.
I have Michael Kendricks as a linebacker in my IDP Dynasty League and offered him in a trade yesterday afternoon before the news came out. So I obviously had no idea, and I don't think anybody had any idea. I think this came around pretty quick where I don't know what kind of trouble he's in, because the irony is that he came out and he said he kind of knew they were doing something wrong, but I'll pay back the money. The FBI does not look at it that way normally.
Right.
So I'm guessing that there's some sort of settlement or plea deal already happening, because it's not like you can say, hey, my bad. I knew it was kind of shady, but I'll totally pay you guys back and it'll be all good. It doesn't work like that. So hopefully, for his sake, he avoids federal prison and ends up getting fined, not unlike his current owner.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And the thing is, like, I agree with you. There may be some kind of negotiation or plea deals or something like that in the works, although this is not my area of expertise, right? I mean, I'm listening to Carl Nassib for my financial advice, you know. But he admits it. You know, he says, like, 4 years ago, I participated in insider trading. He deeply regrets it. It sounds like, you know, someone who got popped for performance-enhancing drugs and admitting it, you know. And then he's saying, like, he's going to pay back the money. It's pretty weird to me, but for fantasy, for football, what you need to know is Michael Kendricks will not be on the Cleveland Browns this year. So if you're in an IDP league like Blewett, or to be quite honest, if you're high on the Browns, you know, this is something to consider. They invested money in Michael Kendricks in the offseason coming out of Philly.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to be a rotational linebacker and an important part of that rotation, but I don't think you could expect him to play a starting role there for 16 games. So just keep that in mind. I can't see any team signing him at all until there's clarity on the situation. So I think Michael Kendricks is on the sideline for the foreseeable future. So next topic, I heard you and Scotty Engel talking about Blake Bortles, and then Scott has him ranked 28th amongst all QBs, and a lot of people are just sort of coming back at Scott saying, how could you have him so low? And you know, he's finished 10th and 13th the last 2 years. So I'm seeing where he's being drafted. He's being drafted as the 24th QB off the board. So effectively, that's a guy that's an asset in two QB leagues, which he is. And I can't believe I'm having to do this, but Bortles is on my dynasty league. And I won a title going back and forth between him and Phil Rivers a couple of years ago. They're still my two quarterbacks. They have been basically since the onset of this league, and I drafted Bortles as a rookie, and he became a valuable fantasy asset. So my question is, I understand that they're going to be running the ball more with Leonard Fournette, but as I've said many times, they threw the ball 527 times last year, the same exact amount as they ran it, and that was 21st in the league. So I do find some value in Bortles, and I don't think he plummets all the way to 28 when he's finishing top 15 the last several years.
I don't know. I just can't do it. I understand, Mike, the idea of the garbage time and how that, you know, those points count just as much as anybody. I get that, but you know, he's been declining the last 3 years. You know, that 2015 year where he threw for 35 touchdowns and 4,400 yards, that was like the height of the garbage time. Right. Yes, and we've said this before many times, a bad team has a lot of good garbage time production. We've said a lot of times that there are receivers, let's say, that are great NFL receivers that are not good fantasy assets. Sometimes, you know, a really good team winds up having a fantasy herd, which is bad for your fantasy team. So there's, on many levels, kind of an inverse relationship there. But in the last 3 years, Bortles has gone from the 4,400 to the 3,900 level to the 3,600 level. And I expect something more around that, okay? The attempts have gone down as well, more than 100 less last year. And I think this is what the identity of the Jaguars that they want, coming straight from the top, coming from Doug Marrone, coming from Tom Coughlin. They want to build this team running the ball and on defense, time of possession, field position. And so I think they're trying to take the ball out of Blake Bortles' hands, okay? They literally, last offseason, were asked, like, how many times do they want Blake Bortles throwing the ball? And I think Doug Marrone said none once. You know, the Jaguars won, I think, two games last year, Mike, with Bortles completing less than 10 passes. So, you know, I just don't think that production is really there. At that level, though, give me, you know, a guy that we just talked about who's fallen. Give me Jameis Winston at that level. I'll take Jameis Winston over Blake Bortles.
Let's do rapid fire. Blake Bortles versus Jameis Winston. Who do you want this year?
I'll take Jameis.
Okay, Blake versus Eli.
I'll take Eli.
Blake versus Dak Prescott.
I'll take Dak.
Wow. Blake versus Trubisky.
There could be interesting. I you know, everyone is so excited about this Nagy offense and Mitchell, don't call him Mitch, taking a step forward. And I'm not exactly sure if that's going to happen. That may be where I draw the line.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple more, though. Blake versus Case Keenum.
I like the weapons in Denver far better. Give me Keenum.
Blake versus Andy Dalton.
Oh, I love Andy Dalton this year. I mean, Andy Dalton has really showed. I like Andy Dalton. He's like a target of mine in this area. If you're in a super flex or QB2, the offensive line has gotten better. John Ross will help take the top off the defense. There's a potentially healthy Tyler Eifert for the first time in years. I like Andy Dalton to have a big-time bounce back. We covered Andy Dalton last hour, Mike. The prop bet on Andy Dalton is something like 3,400 yards. And I think that's a ridiculous, easy money on the over.
It's a really low number, so I like the over there, too. Blake versus Tyrod Taylor.
If you tell me Tyrod starts 15, 16 games, I'll take Tyrod. I'm just a little bit worried about eventually Baker Mayfield in the fantasy playoffs being the starting quarterback for the Browns. So for that reason alone, I think there's stability there with Blake Bortles. But at this level, I'd rather get Tyrod, and then if that happens, you know, get something off the waiver wire. I do not believe in Blake Bortles, Mike.
Okay, last two guys. Do you like him more than Flacco or Tannehill?
I like him more than Tannehill. Flacco, you know, he's sort of on the same Andy Dalton train where, like, maybe I was a little bit wrong on him coming into the preseason, and maybe he's primed for a little bit better. So I would take Bortles over Tannehill, but I would take Flacco over Bortles.
Okay, there you go. So Blake Bortles appears to be appropriately ranked, certainly in regards to Dane's thoughts and Scott Engel's thoughts. So I understand what you guys are saying, and I can't argue with it. The yardage total is going to be down. I guess my only thought process is that the offense could be efficient in the manner in which they're running the ball. And yes, Fournette is going to see goal line looks, but Fournette could get them down inside the 20. And Bortles might have a fair amount of red zone shots to Austin Seferian Jenkins, to Moncrief, to whomever it is that steps up. So I think the touchdowns could be there because the offense could be fairly efficient in the way that they move the ball. But yes, the yardage total is going to be down. The attempts could come down as well. I push back on people when they say there's no value. There is some value to the guy that's going to step up for Marquise Lee, to Blake Bortles and to QB Lee. So I just try to clarify that when people say there's no value at all. So so good stuff there. That's a good discussion point on Bortles. So one important point on the sports betting world, Dane, is that Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's a Democrat from New York, he's sort of right around our way, wants Congress to create a federal framework for sports betting. That's according to ESPN's Darren Rovell. So casinos and gaming groups like the American Gaming Association don't want to let Congress get involved. They prefer the legalized sports betting be regulated by individual states. But the Supreme Court ruled in May that a federal law banning sports betting was unconstitutional, passed the law, and which enabled Delaware, New Jersey, Mississippi to set their own rules. But he's making sure, this is his quote, "It's making sure the integrity of the games we love is preserved and that people are not being taken advantage of," according to a memo provided to ESPN. He doesn't have a proposed bill, but the possible pieces of it could be sports picks only using official league data to determine outcomes. 2, an increase on league monitoring of betting, though he didn't mention integrity fees, which Rob Manfred has been outspoken about, and setting an age minimum for betting at 21 years old. So the other side of it, and then I'll let you comment on all of this, is that the American Gaming Association said that while it also wants to protect sports integrity, it believes that federal oversight on sports betting has been a, quote, abject failure for 26 years, in part because its blanket ban perpetuated an underground market. That's a great point by them. I can't even argue against that. So I'll throw it out there. Federal, I get a little itchy when it comes to federal laws as well. I feel like this might be an individual states' rights thing.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though, right? When we're talking about this money, it's a money thing. Like, are people then gonna, you know, go to different states, and you know, are there different markets also? You know, I made a point on another gambling show. The one thing I'm worried about with these states legalizing is real sharp people. Or maybe it's not something I'm worried about. Maybe it's something I want to take advantage of. You know, there's always going to be the kind of like home market. And I think there's efficiencies there, right? So like, for example, the Giants season win total in the state of New Jersey might have a higher number than it does in Las Vegas, right? The Boston Red Sox, you know, may be better bet in Massachusetts than they are in Vegas, right? So I think there's inefficiencies there that you can exploit. So I'm okay with this idea of federal regulation. You're right, it has been a failure over time. You're right, it has been what develops the kind of black market, shall we say. But I think this is trending. This is the way it's going to go down. I don't know if it's in 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, or 10, but we all know, Mike, that this is the way it is going. And once people embrace it or accept it, the next step is regulation, you know, and to go kind of maybe off script here, like we see that with marijuana law, you know, in states right now. We're seeing that with laws around the internet right now. You know, as soon as they embrace something, it becomes something that you have to regulate. I think they are going to wind up regulating it on a federal scale. And unfortunately, though, it's going to lead to like a bigger vig and more juice on some of these things, because and then everyone's going to put their hand in the cookie jar. And that's the part that I'm worried about. You know, everyone getting their little slice of the pie, and the sharp bettors like us is where the kind of cost is going to be passed on to. You know, for example, what I see or what I anticipate, you know, Mike, how the normal juice is like minus 110 on both sides, right? That 10 is what is the rake for the casino, you know? So I think we're going to see a place, if this happens, where the standard kind of thing is going to be minus 115 or minus 120 on both sides.
Which is
so
why, why many people are arguing against the thought process that people will flock to casinos and sports books. I think there's still a market for the black market, for a guy to go to his local bookie, because he's bet with him for years and he knows that all I have to do is pay my standard vig of 10% and I don't have to deal with anybody else. That's the guy. I like the lines. I have a comfortable situation and I don't have to go to sports books. So I'm saying,
but you think guys in California,
you're right.
So I was just going to say, I was going to continue my analogy. You think guys that live in California right now are still going to their weed man off the street, or are they going to the dispensaries?
I think the weed guy on the corner is still in business.
All right, you know, fair enough. And then maybe the bookies will still be as well. I think then maybe the bookies still will be as well. But I think my moral of the story is, like, we all see how this story is going to end. You know, if anything else, it's revenue generating for states, for governments. I think it's going to happen, and I think unfortunately, the cost is going to get passed on to the savvy better.
Yeah, true. So DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have a chance to win big this year along Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men who have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. If there's no profits that week, no worries. Your name's going to get tossed back into that the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in action. At dailyroto.com/sweat. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit of the lines in the preseason games tonight and a little bit more of the player props and the NFL props for the 2018 season. So it's Mike and Dane on FST. We're back right after this.
Are you between the ages of 13 and 22 and love fantasy football? Then GM Genius is for you. GM Genius is the only fantasy football scholarship competition giving students a chance to play fantasy football and pay for your education. GM Genius won FSTA's Rookie of the Year Award in 2017 and has already awarded over $25,000 in scholarships. Go to GMGenius.com today and turn your fantasy football love into a scholarship.
Calling all drivers, want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Couch USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
It's Carton and Friends!
When I always say afterwards, hey, I hope that was good for you. But beyond that, I say, I have exorcised the demons.
And you got it out of you.
These pipes are clean.
There you go. Because see, when
you got to get it out.
When that one-eyed monster get hungry, he got to eat. You know what I'm saying?
I say it. Interestingly enough, I wind up saying it in an empty room a lot. My left hand's like, I've heard that enough.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. So keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor contest opening about a week before NFL kickoff. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. So, Danny, we're talking sports betting. We're talking lines. We're talking bigs. And to Dane's greater point in the previous segment, this could add a whole bunch of federal regulators that they have to pay, and they could add some juice onto the existing sports books, which they won't be happy about. It could turn off their longtime customers, their longtime sharp bettors, or just volume bettors. So it's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, considering the fact that Chuck Schumer doesn't even have a proposed bill put together, I think you can, you don't need to hold your breath waiting for it to happen. It'd probably be a 2019 situation. So Dane, you wanted to take a look at certain lines for tonight. Yeah. You said there's something funky about some of these preseason lines, so why don't you throw them out to me?
Sure. So here's the thing. You know, whoever's betting on preseason week four in the first place, you know, because these are second and third string guys trying to get, you know, their spot on the 53-man roster. You know, I think it's a little bit interesting anyway. But when I went over to the lines, I was expecting pretty much, Blewett, I was expecting every team, every home team to be 2.5, 3, 3.5 point favorites, you know, because how are you really going to try to make meaning out of this and read the tea leaves? But here's one that I think is pretty interesting, and I want to see if you agree with me. The Washington football team is down in Baltimore today, you know, kind of Battle of the Beltway, let's say, right? Mike, the Ravens are 7-point favorites at home, okay? And I don't understand this. I really don't, because there's not going to be, you know, Joe Flacco won't play. Alex Smith won't play. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'd rather put my money with Colt McCoy than Lamar Jackson or RG3. And more importantly than that, a full touchdown? I think this is crazy. I think this line is way too high. I would bet anybody today that's +7. And if I can get Washington +7 with who I believe will be the best quarterback on the field in this game in Colt McCoy, who is like a legitimate number two in this league, is one of the best 65 quarterbacks on the planet. I don't know if I can say the same for Lamar Jackson or RG3. And I'm getting 7 points. Give me the Washington football team all day. Am I missing something here, Mike?
Well, there are two games with significant movement in this week's preseason games. This game, it moved 2.5 points more towards the Ravens. It opened at -4. Now they're -6.5. And the other one is Green Bay, Kansas City. Kansas City opened at -6 and now moved down to -3.5. Clearly, this is, though, the public saying that I'll take Lamar Jackson over Colt McCoy.
They like Lamar?
So Lamar will probably play a lot. Yeah, I think that's what that means.
Sure, that's even more reason why I'm going to bet Washington tonight.
So you want to go against the public?
Yeah, I'm fading the public all day long. That's how they build those buildings out there in Las Vegas, by fading the public, Mike. And so I'm going to do the same thing. If the public, you know, we've said this before on things like the name recognition of Drew Brees for his passing yards, on things like the joke that is the Cleveland Browns for their season win total. Sometimes the public perception, you know, the Oakland Raiders as a public team, for goodness sakes, with an over-under of like 8 or 8.5. I got it at 9 and I ran to the window for that one. I think this is another situation like that, where people are all excited about what Lamar Jackson can do. And sure, he may make a play or two, but he's just as liable to throw a pick six as he is to, you know, have a 35-yard scramble for a touchdown. And then on the other side, I just keep going back. Listen, I don't think Colt McCoy is amazing, but he's a professional quarterback who has been here before, who understands what he's doing. And the fact that I'm getting a full touchdown, Mike, that's ridiculous on week 4 of the preseason. Yes, I'll take Colt McCoy in this situation over the developing Lamar Jackson, and I'm taking +7 all day long.
Yeah, I understand that. The one thing I would say is you need to dive in to make sure you know who's playing. If Washington has decided to rest all of their, say, defensive starters and a whole bunch of other offensive starters, maybe that's why the line moved greatly. There's two other ones where I saw a lot of line movement. Detroit opened as a 1-point favorite. They are now a 2.5-point underdog. I think that, again, that is in response to the fact that, frankly, incredulously, the Browns said that they're going to play Baker Mayfield a whole bunch in this game. So they have what is effectively a starting quarterback playing a lot of action tonight. Matt Stafford's not going to be anywhere near it. If he's wearing any equipment at all, I'd be surprised. And the last one that I saw was Atlanta, who opened as a 2.5-point favorite. They are now 1-point dog. So there's been a lot of movement, and it's based on sharp bettors and public doing some homework and deciding who the starting quarterbacks are going to be and what starters are going to be in there. That's why you see significant line movement. Plus, there's not as much action on these games, so the line can move a lot quicker when sharp bettors are placing larger wagers on this stuff.
Yeah, I hear that, you know, and with the idea of Baker being out there, you know, I think there's some other potential risk, because I'm thinking about it from the fantasy aspect moving forward, you know, and I don't want to expose these guys to potential injury. I think, to be quite honest, that's why the Jets pulled the trigger on the Teddy Bridgewater trade yesterday, because what happens if 100%. Teddy Bridgewater would have been the quarterback out there for, you know, all the reps yesterday, and then what happens if he gets banged up and then they lose their asset, you know? And I think that was what necessitated these trades, that and getting down to the 53-man roster. I'm concerned with Baker Mayfield, Mike. I'm concerned with Baker Mayfield playing behind second and third string offensive linemen. I'm concerned. We're hearing Royce Freeman is going to play a lot of snaps out there in Denver tonight, and I don't know if that means that Devontae Booker's really the starter or if he needs just additional reps. You know, what happens if these guys get hurt? The only thing that can happen tonight, Mike, to anybody on our fantasy teams is that they get hurt. They need to be on the sidelines tonight, Mike.
If Baker plays more than a series, I think it's stupid. I wouldn't put him out there at all. I think this should be Drew Stanton and Brogan Roback all day long, but that's why the Cleveland Browns are who they are. We've seen a lot of dysfunction throughout the Hard Knocks, and you got coaches calling players stupid and criticizing guys after they get hurt. And then he does it to the media, and then the head coach has to come out and slap his hand. It's a total mess. So I want to get to a draft that I did last night. I have another one tonight and another one Sunday, and I did a draft last night. But before I do that, BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round. And for a limited time, using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 on your first deposit if you're willing to adhere to rollover requirements. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So last night, I was in a draft with some friends. And it's the ultimate example. It's a co-ed league, and it's a lot of fun. There's no money on the line. It's just for fun. I'm going to have my nephew manage this team with me, but I did the draft. and this shows you why, as much analysis as we do, we cannot predict what's going on in your draft. I got the second overall pick. The number one overall pick took Tom Brady.
I guess it's not waiting on quarterback, huh, Mike?
No. And people did not wait on quarterback in this league. She's a huge Pats fan, and she wanted Tom Brady. She named the team after Tom Brady, and she wasn't going to give anybody the opportunity to take him in those next 22 picks before she picked again. So with the number two pick, I got Le'Veon Bell. It's the first time and possibly only time and definitely only time I'm going to own him unless I get in my draft on Sunday, which is a 10-teamer, unless I get one of those top couple of picks. So I went Le'Veon Bell, number one overall, or number two overall.
Sure. I love it. You know, what I'd be interested to see, this young lady who drafted Tom Brady, number one, I'd be interested to see who their, you know, wide receiver three is, who their running back two is, and what the implications of that are versus the team who waited, like we say, to wait on quarterback and winds up with a Matthew Stafford, a Phillip Rivers, all the names we've talked about of guys who we wait on quarterback to get, whether that's Matt Ryan, Patty Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz. There's so many opportunities out there, right? So I would love, this is a great case study, Mike. What we should do is compare this, like, Tom Brady number one overall pick team with the team that was at the other end of the spectrum and the team that wound up, you know, drafting quarterback last. And I would love to see the difference in their depth. I'd love to see the difference in their running backs two and three, their wide receivers two and three, you know, what winds up happening in round six and seven. I think that's an interesting case study. Let's do it, Blewett.
Yeah, yeah. So Tom Brady, she comes around. I'll forget my team. We'll just take a look at her team. She ends up picking on the turn. Give me a second. She took Zach Ertz and Devontae Freeman. That's where her second and third picks. So she got.
So she went. She started quarterback tight end.
Yes.
Okay. So even more to my point, let's see this. Let's see this.
Yeah. So Devontae Freeman. Then she comes back around, gets Chris Hogan and Brandon Cooks. She obviously loves the Patriots. She's drafting current and former Patriots, but right now she's got
the name she knows.
She's got Cooks. She's got Brady, Cooks, Hogan, Ertz, Freeman. Really not bad. She comes back. She gets Sammy Watkins is the number three, and then she took the Broncos D. That's where she really got
off
the rails. So she took the Broncos D in round seven. Then she gets James White, so that's her second, and she drafted Steven Goskowski as a kicker. And this is not auto-picked. I swear, she was just doing this. She took Danny Amendola.
Maybe she listened to us yesterday, Mike, with the stacking. Maybe she listened to us yesterday with Colin Drew and the games and the stacking, game stacking.
Entirely possible. So really, her running back depth is Theo Riddick, James White, Devonta Freeman. As far as her wide receivers are concerned, she drafted Danny Amendola because she said he's hot. And she also obviously went with Ertz and Hogan. So she really stacked up on Patriots. The rest of her depth looks something like Calvin Ridley. She got Dak Prescott as a backup. And then got Ben Watson as a backup tight end. She took the Patriots D, obviously, and Rob Kelly as a backup running back. So the running back depth wasn't there, but the wide receivers really aren't that bad. She's got good quarterbacks and a good tight end. So it was a really funky way to go about it, but there was a lot of other funkiness going on in that draft. It just goes to show you home leagues become, at times, unpredictable. So you have to be sure that you have your trigger finger ready, especially at QB, because a lot of QBs came off the board early here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll look at a little bit more of this tomorrow, Mike. FST is heading on out. Carton and Friends is up next. Tomorrow we'll have some Week 4 preseason games to react to, and we'll look at some more of the drafts you did, all right? Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez will be back at it tomorrow, 8 a.m. right here. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Go winning those drafts, guys.